Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
We're going to talk about the present tense God today. And we're going to start in John 8, because I think it's really important that we don't just serve a God that we read about in the ancient book, that God is here and God is just as able to do any of the miracles, signs, wonders. He is able to speak to you. He is able to heal you. He is able to bless you. Not only is he able, he is desirous to bring great change to your life, to bring revolution to your life, to bring a new way of looking at things, a new way of thinking, a cleansed way of being. It's his desire to do that. And it's a lifelong process, journey, experience. So I'm going to read from John chapter 8 and verse 47. Jesus is having this duel, you know, so what do they call it? Fencing duel, this sword play, word play, with the Pharisees, because the Pharisees are not happy with him for every reason under the sun, because Jesus just does cool, holy things and miracles, and they can't do any of that. So what they have drawn back to is, you're not living by our rules. And it's not God's rules, it's their interpretation of Moses' rules. And it's how they're implementing Moses' law in their generation, which now they consider to be God's truth. So Jesus comes and just blows that all to pieces and does things that early in this chapter he forgave the adulterous woman. Here he's sort of playing head games with Pharisees, I think. Jesus speaking, he said, "He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God." Now he's saying this to the Jewish Pharisees whose business was religion, you know, who were in the religious business. You know, so you know that he's poking at them, if you will. "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." That's heavy, right? Then the Jews answered and said, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon? You must have a demon if you say we don't know God, right?" Jesus answered and said, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." What a powerful scripture. He shall never see death. If you believe in me, you shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead." Now, because now we're, you know, it's what does is mean? You know, what we're going to be lawyers now. We're going to go to the terminology that you're using. We're going to ask you to try to, you know, describe. We understand death is when you die and they dig a hole and put you in the ground, right? That's what they're saying. The Jews said to him, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anybody keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who was dead, and the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered and said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say he is your God, this God that you claim to know all about. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now I'm getting funky with your time-space continuum. Then the Jews said to him, you are not even 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. He doesn't say before Abraham was, I was. Right? He didn't say before Abraham was, I was. He says before Abraham was, I am. The God we serve is the God of the present tense. Always the God of the present tense. He was the God of the present tense in Abraham's life. He was the God of the present tense in Jesus' life. He was the God of the present tense in your life. Now listen, what happens to have this little dialogue going back and forth? Now he's getting the matter. And he says, before Abraham was, I am. They knew what he was saying. He was calling himself the great I am, who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. And Moses said, we're going to read it, who shall I say sent me to Pharaoh, to the Jews, to deliver them? Tell them the I am sent you. I am is his name. I am is his name. I am. I am. Present tense, I am. Because they got it. You and I read over it. They got it. They became so enraged at him using this term for himself. Then they took up stones to throw at him. They were going to kill him because he had blasphemed against what they understood as their God. Because Jesus identified himself as the I am. Before Abraham was, I am. They picked up stones to kill him. Read the emotion, the passion, the hatred, the anger. You got to get who Jesus is. You got to get who he is. Because he's no different than that. I mean, he's, you know, not that he hasn't been crucified and resurrected, but he's still the I am. And whatever your need is today, there were times the whole multitudes came together, and the Bible says he healed everyone of every disease. He's the I am. He forgave the adulteress. Right? He forgave the lepers. He cleansed the lepers. Forgave the adulterers. Set the captives free. He is not the I was. We don't believe in the I was. I mean, I do believe in the I was. He was. Right? But I believe in the I am. That he's working in your life today to show himself great and mighty and powerful, to do miracles in your life, to prove that he is the I am to you, and for your friends. And not everybody likes it. So I want to read this. This is when Jesus, or when the Lord reveals himself as the I am. This is from Exodus in chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? You know, Moses is like, check this out. That bush is on fire, but it's not being burned. It's not being consumed. So I look up the word bush. And because throughout the Old Testament are these little flashes of Jesus, right? Because the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed. He's there, but he's concealed. In the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. The word bush comes from an unused root meaning to prick. So the more literal translation of that book is the word bush is thorny bush. Now, why would a thorny bush burn with fire and not be consumed? Because our Jesus would wear a crown of thorns and would represent the fire of God burning within him and not consumed. See, our Jesus would wear Moses goes up to sacrifice Isaac. He's so bad, doesn't want to have to sacrifice his son, but he believes God. And he's going to sacrifice his son. He ties him up. He gets a fire ready. He ties him up, and he lifts up his knife. And God says to him, no, stop, don't. I've seen how obedient you are. And I needed somebody who would show something that I'm preparing to do, because it's me, God, who's going to sacrifice his only begotten son. Look for the ram that's stuck in the thorny bushes. And who does that ram represent? That crown of thorns on his head is Jesus. You get it? The Old Testament is Jesus all over the place. It's just showing us flashes of things yet to come. So now we're still in Exodus 3, and I'm going to jump down to verse 13. And Moses said to God, indeed, because God said, I want you to go to Pharaoh and say, let my children go out for 3 days and make sacrifices in the wilderness. It was kind of tricking Pharaoh, actually. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And what did Jesus say? Before Abraham was, I am. Come on now. When Jesus is saying, I am, in those two places, he's blowing up our idea of the time-space continuum, of us being somehow trapped in time. That Jesus is somehow stands apart from time and is eternal, is himself eternal. That's why he says, you'll never see death. He who believes in me shall never see death. And they said, what? Okay, we've rightly said that you have a demon. Right? Now watch this. I'm going to jump over to the book of Hebrews, but stay with me because we're still chapter 3, please. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, this would be you he's talking to, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all his house. For this one had been counted of more glory than Moses. He's talking of Jesus, right? Insomuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. He says Jesus is the builder of the house, and he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. We are if, we are if, we are if, we are if, we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Don't you know that life throws you a couple of gut punches? Don't you know that life throws you some stuff that you just would rather really not deal with? So we come in on Sunday morning, and maybe you haven't had a great week. Maybe you've had tragedy or hardship or trial. But we rejoice in hope. Sometimes we rejoice in hope of what will yet be. Yes? Sometimes that's all we got. Because today hurts. Sometimes it's all we got. But we're rejoicing in hope. Firm to the end. So I'm reading for the third time because I want to get to the next sentence. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. This is not the house of God. This beautiful wooden building is not the house of God. We are the house of God. Got it? Whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. Therefore, the Holy Spirit says, because of all of that, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. Today, if you will hear present tense God. Today, if you will hear his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. You come to church, your heart gets softened. Your heart draws near to God. 20 minutes down the road, after we decide what we're having for lunch, and what we're watching, the players' tournament on this afternoon, but not for nothing. Well, what we're watching on TV, your heart gets hard again. It hardens right up again until the next time you're in the company of the believers and you go back to the same Cretan you were before. I don't mind people from Crete, by the way. Back then, apparently, they were scoundrels. I don't know. Paul said so. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. Are you open to God speaking to you today? Are you open to him directing you today? Are you open to him wanting to heal you today? Wanting to set you free today? Because if we're only serving the God of 2,000 years ago, you know, you're not listening to the voice of God today. If you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Because that's what they did after God delivered them out of Egypt into the wilderness. They hardened their heart. It says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. He's talking about Moses now, leading the children out into the wilderness. Where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. I mean, listen, you can learn church protocol all you want. It doesn't mean you're learning God's ways. So I swore in my wrath, God says, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. That means they're going to keep working toward it and working toward it and working toward it and working toward it. They shall not enter into God's rest. Verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be in you any evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What does the evil heart of unbelief do? It departs from the living God, the God of today, the God of the present tense. The God who said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Cast out demons. They shall speak with other tongues. That God, the God of today, present tense. God wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants to instruct you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to lead you to himself. He wants you to throw away your lives and your patterns of unrighteousness, habits, whatever they may be. He wants you to get rid of them. He wants you to have a new heart. Get rid of the heart of stone, the hard heart, and take upon yourself the heart of flesh that's malleable, that feels. Yeah? So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What? You got to follow this logic, because it'll blow your mind. Which means this, you can open your eyes and see God everywhere. Because his glory, his daily glory, I guarantee you in 2 months, everything outside is going to be green. You're just going to take that, oh yeah, that's biology. Oh yeah, that's science. How about that's God? How about that's God, the designer, the maker, who established these things from the foundations of the earth? For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And he's quoting, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. He says, those people for 40 years, they shall not enter my rest. But even God, after working 6 days, rested on the seventh day. Is what he's saying. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. God's promise is a rest, is that there are times of rest. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ is our rest, because he did the work for us, so we don't have to do the work for ourselves. We're saved by faith, grace through faith. Since it therefore remains that some must enter it, since it therefore remains, I mean, it's obvious that somebody must enter God's rest. That's what he's saying. It's obvious that somebody's got to enter God's rest. And to those whom it was first preached did not enter the rest because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying through the writings of David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day, because Joshua came before David. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. You're ceasing from your own religious works as some kind of path to righteousness. And you're accepting what Jesus Christ has done for you. And you're allowing that gift, that love, that family relationship to mold you and remake you so that his words open up to you. And your spirit is changed and transformed into a child of God. And you enter into his rest. And Paul and Silas can be in a dungeon and sing hymns at midnight because they've entered into his rest. They didn't say, who sinned, Paul or Silas? Right? That they were whipped and put into a dungeon. Who sinned, Paul or Silas? That's what we say. Who sinned that they're losing their house? Who sinned that they're, you know, that they're this or that or the other thing? Maybe nobody. Maybe it's so that God can be manifested in your life. Your hard times may exist. just so that God can be manifested in your life. And you go through such pain that you want to rip your heart out of your chest because you can't imagine life can actually dish out such horrible things to you. And you say, who sinned that this happened? And maybe, just maybe, nobody did. It may be because the glory of God is going to be manifested in your life. If you'll hold fast your hope to the end. Makes me so happy. Rick Warren said this. We know that he's a famous preacher, contemporary preacher. He said this: the best use of life is love. The best expression of love is time. The best time to love is now. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart like they did in the wilderness, following Moses around. So, the best use of life is love. The best expression of love is time. Don't say you love God and not give him time. Can't do it. Don't do it. Can't do it. Nope. Got to give him time. Requires time. Personal time. Mount of Olives time. Yeah? And the best time to love, it's now. Yeah. Right? And that's always, now is today, if you will hear his heart, his voice. Don't harden your heart. Amen? Would you like to stand up with me, please? So, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we've heard your word today. Lord God, I promise you not to harden our heart, Lord Jesus, but rejoice in hope. Father, that we rejoice in knowing you, that we rejoice, Father God, in the good things that you have for us. We believe in your goodness, Lord Jesus, but we've also seen that life deals out occasionally things that don't feel so good, and that doesn't necessarily mean anything that we ourselves in our personal wisdom always have accurate judgment on. But Lord God, you judge all things. And so we ask you to probe our hearts, Lord Jesus, and show us the beams in our own eyes, Lord God, instead of being the tweezer carriers for everyone else's. Now we love you and praise you in Catskill Mountain Christian Center, and we thank you for things to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to our podcast today, On Fire Radio. We pray that this word has ministered to you today, and maybe God has shown your need for him in your life. Pastor shared from John chapter 8. Verse 58 reads, "Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Pastor Bob showed us how the Lord is a present tense God. He messes with how we understand time, but the Bible also says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to move in your life, heal you, redeem you, and make you whole today. If you need to make Jesus Christ first in your life today and be set free from your past sinful ways and be made a new creation in Christ, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent from my sins and I ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life, and I ask that you give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and start a plan for new believers today. And start a prayer life. Carve out time in your day to spend with God. I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Powerful worship, dynamic teaching, and an encouraging time of fellowship is guaranteed. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can partner with us in serving God's vision for this area by donating online at our website, www.cmcconline.org. And while you're there, you can also connect with us on our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Send us a message and let us know how this ministry is impacting your life. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.